When I was praying and asking God what he wanted to talk with us about today, he gave me a picture in my mind. And in this picture, some of us here are parents. Maybe this has even happened to us, where we bend down to pick up our toddler, and they do not want to be held. Has anybody ever had that experience? Mine typically happened at Farm and Fleet, and I don't know what it was about Farm and Fleet that my son did not like, but it did not work well for us at Farm and Fleet. Sorry. But literally, when we pick those toddlers up, sometimes we pick them up and they literally push against us as parents. Sometimes they yell. Sometimes they scream. Maybe they even pound us, and maybe even they kick us. And I think, spiritually speaking, there might be some of us here today that do that with God spiritually. And I think he wants to break that today so that we can experience his nearness in a new way. So Christ died and rose again. And that's so powerful. I am Jesus' risen girl. That is my proof that Jesus is the way he died. He rose again. He did what he said he was going to do. But it's his blood. It's his blood that breaks the barriers so that we can experience the nearness of God. We all have places where we might fight to get out of his arms. Some may be blatant, like I've done. Literally, I have done this. Nope, I'm not doing it. Has anybody ever done that? It's probably just me. Nope, I'm not doing it. There may be other ways that we fight against God too. Maybe we rebel. Rebel is when God asks us to do something, we do the complete opposite. If God says turn right, we say no, I'm going left. That's rebellion. Sometimes we might just be super independent. I struggle with that too. Making decisions on my own, not asking God for input, not asking others for input, because I know the answer and I know the best thing. That's another way that we can fight against God. I think there are more subtle ways, and sometimes these can be a little bit trickier. Maybe we choose sports or work over going to church. Maybe we show up to church or a life group, but we don't really participate. We kind of sit there spiritually like this. I'm here. I did my part. Maybe we'll ask somebody to pray for us instead of actually praying to God ourselves. All of these can be different ways and similar ways of pushing against God and saying no. But we miss the nearness that he wants to give us in that moment. And I sense today that he wants to break some of those barriers so that we can experience the nearness of God. He wants us to experience him in the process of our daily lives. Sometimes he needs to get past our own barriers in order to do that. And I hope he does that with us today. We're going to consider a question throughout the morning. It's probably going to irritate you by the end of the day if I've done my job well. What holds you back? What holds you back from being near to God? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have already been working in our hearts. And I thank you that Jesus came to break all of our barriers. And God, as we enter into this idea today about the blood and the power that really does have for us, God, I pray in Jesus' name that you bring freedom to the captives. In the subtle ways, in the blatant ways, Jesus, would you come and set the captives free? In Jesus' name, amen. So luckily, we aren't the first ones to struggle with pushing away God. And the Bible has a lot to talk to us about the blood. We're going to look at a few different scriptures today. I typically, personally, like to take maybe a passage or two and dive a little bit deeper. We're not going to have time to do that today. So we're going to look at several passages, and we're going to use a couple different translations. I love, Jerry, that you said a couple weeks ago that no translation of the Bible is going to steer you wrong. I love it. It doesn't so much matter what translation you're reading, one's not right and one's not wrong, as long as it's the Bible. Whatever you connect with so that you understand Scripture, read it. That's great. Sometimes there are some passages that just make it a little bit more clear. So I'm going to use a couple different ones. I'm going to use the NIV and I'm going to use the ESV. So as we look at that today, there are some scriptures in the bottom of your outline that if you have any interest in looking at those throughout the week to see what else God might want to talk to you about in the area of his blood, it'll just give you some things to think about. So today, we're going to look at three specific areas where Jesus' blood breaks barriers so that we can experience the nearness of God. We're going to look at the blood that brings confidence. We're going to look at blood that purifies, and we're going to look at blood for obedience. Woohoo! Let's look at the first one, blood that brings confidence. So what holds you back? Maybe you're one who's just not 100% sure how God really feels about you. Maybe you don't think you're spiritual enough or know enough about the Bible to really even think about beginning to talk to God about things. Maybe you come out of a faith background that taught you that you have to work to earn favor with God. Maybe you were taught that only priests were qualified to talk to God. If any of this might apply to any of us today, I want to look at Hebrews 10:19 in the ESV translation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, since we have confidence. Did you notice that this passage specifically says Jesus' blood? It doesn't say a sacrificial blood. It doesn't say the blood of another. It doesn't talk about another type of blood with a different faith background. It says his name, the blood of Jesus, specifically. In the Old Testament, the part of the sanctuary that held God's presence was called the Holy of Holies. The priests were the only ones that were allowed to enter into that place. But the passage says, since. That means something happened. What happened was Jesus. Because of his sacrifice on the cross, he broke down the barriers for us to be able to enter in to the holy place, which is where God's presence is. Since his blood broke that barrier, we can enter in confidently into the place of God. I can do it at a garden. We can do it here. You can do it as you're at home. We have access to this presence every day. One of my friends, One of my friends was struggling with some things at work. They might be, you know, routine things for people to think about at work, staffing issues, budgets, trying to get things done. And she was just kind of had a list of things. And I said, Susie Q, did you know that you can actually take these things to God and ask for his input and ask for his strategy and ask for his wisdom? You don't have to figure it out. And her eyes got really big. She goes, seriously? I can ask him about stuff like that? Yeah. It's that kind of confidence that we can enter into God's presence because of Jesus' blood. Perhaps you might feel like asking God for everything, everyday things like my friend did, isn't spiritual. But since we have the blood, we can approach God confidently. So let's do that right now. Ooh, are you freaking out yet? So where do you feel timid? Where do you feel like you can't boldly and confidently approach God? What holds you back? I want to just sit here for a second and see if the Holy Spirit pinpoints anything for you guys. What holds you back? Did anything immediately pop into your head? Sometimes when God speaks to us, it's a random thought that automatically just comes into our mind. We didn't come up with it. It just all of a sudden is there. Sometimes it might be a picture. Sometimes he might show us a memory. He speaks to us very personally, and he knows how to speak to us so that we know it's him. So if anything popped up, I just want to encourage you guys to just write that down in the first section of your outline, because we're going to do something with that later. Who's going to be the bold person to write it down? Craig Robertson. So if you walked in today feeling unsure of being able to boldly approach God's presence, rest assured that Jesus' blood has broken that barrier, and you can enter in. And you can have a dialogue with him like you would a very dear friend. He wants to hear from you. The second area that we're going to look at this morning is blood that purifies. So what holds you back? Maybe you think that sin you struggle with today keeps you from being brought near to God. Maybe it's that one sin that happened years ago that you can't help but replay over and over in your mind. Perhaps you think if anyone really knew what you were thinking today, the thoughts that go on in your mind, there is no way that God would want to pick you up and embrace you. If you can identify with any of this today, we're going to look at 1 John 1:7. And this is going to be in the NIV translation. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is the part I want us to focus on today. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. How much sin? I'm sorry? Exactly. All sin. Again, this passage is very clear that it's Jesus' blood. And I like that it even goes a little bit deeper. It says his son, Father God's son. It's Jesus' blood, his son, that purifies us from all sin. So it's not the amount of Irish Spring that you buy at the grocery store that's gonna purify you. It's not even pretty smelling good things at Bath and Beyond. It's not hiding our sin from others, trying to hide it from God, that's going to purify us. It's not even going out and blessing others that will purify us from sin. To purify means to remove contaminants. There are things that we pick up along the way that contaminate us. Sin is wrong. I want to be very clear with that. God does not like when we sin. But there's usually a root cause for why we do it. Sometimes we need to remove contaminants from our thinking. And sometimes we need to remove contaminants about the things we believe, about ourselves, about God. And as those contaminants are removed in our thinking and our belief system, our outward behavior is going to change. Our sinful choices are going to change too. It starts with our thinking. God can remove the contaminants in lots of different ways, but we first need to recognize that we need Christ to do the work. I met with a woman a couple years ago, and she doesn't go here, so you don't need to sit and figure out who was it. Not that anybody would do that. I'm going to call her Betty Lou. She is Susie Q's cousin. So Betty Lou and I met, and I could just tell that there was a weight that she was carrying that day. And so I just sat and I listened. And she began to tell me her story, part of it. When she was younger, she had a relationship with a gentleman. She became pregnant. No one in her family knew. None of her friends knew. And she made a decision. And she had an abortion. And she came from a faith background. She went to church growing up. But she came from a faith background that taught her that that was a mortal sin. And she just began to cry. There is no way I am ever going to be able to really be with Jesus because of this thing I did years ago. And I just sat there and I let her share. And I let her get it all out. And there were lots of tears on both of our sides. Because she'd been carrying it for so many years. And I asked God if I could speak, and he said, nope, just wait. So I waited. And I don't know if the men in church know about an ugly cry, but it's when girls are crying so hard that they can't catch their breath, they can't really talk, things are coming out from different orifices. That's the ugly cry. So as I sat there, she didn't say words, she just began to ugly cry. And I just sat and I let her cry and cry and cry. And I said, Betty Lou, do you want to hear what Jesus says about this? She says, no, I can't yet. And I said, why? And she said, it didn't just happen once, it happened twice. There's no way I can ask him what he would say. And then I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to come through on this one. And she knew that Jesus died on the cross for all sin. But to her, that sin felt different. Because she'd been taught that there are certain sins that are unforgivable. And then we talked a little bit, and I asked just a couple of questions. And then I could just feel the Holy Spirit come in like a thick, warm, heavy blanket. And she just began to calm. And I said, Betty Lou, do you want to ask what Jesus would say to you? And she said, I'm super, super scared, but I think I want to. And she did. Now, I'm not going to say what she heard. But in that moment, the sin that she had been carrying for years, it was broken. The weight of that sin was broken because he spoke to her. And she was forever changed. She was transformationally changed, very different from a word from God. So I want to get real. Let's pull out our pens and our outlines and ask the Holy Spirit what holds me back. Because a word from God in a moment can change everything. What in my life needs purifying? Is it something that we think? Is it something that we believe? Is it a specific sin? What needs purifying? I could sit here all day. I know for some of us this might be really uncomfortable. The silence might be really uncomfortable. But we have to create space in our lives to let the Holy Spirit bring things to mind. It's how we get free. So if something popped out, if something came into your mind, maybe it was just simply a word. Maybe it was a phrase. Maybe it was an action that you've been doing that the Lord says, hey, baby girl, let's talk about this. If something came to mind, I want to encourage you to write it down in the second section of your outline, because we're going to do something with it later. Christ's blood purifies us from all sin. Well, I think we could say something more about that. Christ's blood purifies us from all sin. Not just some of them. He doesn't leave some sin behind. He doesn't deal with this stuff over here and leave this stuff over here. The work of Jesus on the cross dealt with it all. So if you walked in today feeling the weight of sin, or maybe you just have a lot of contaminated thinking that you realize, oh my gosh, this does not line up with who I know God to be or who I know he's created me to be. Please know, if you walked in with any of that weight, that there's hope. And the hope is that the blood of Jesus purifies all of the sin. If you sense that maybe there's some deeper healing that you need in an area, or some different purification that needs to occur, please come up after prayer or after the service today and let us pray for you. If it's maybe a big thing that maybe you'd need to talk a little bit about, like I did with my friend Betty Lou, Susie Q's cousin, schedule an appointment with Craig. Schedule to meet with Rick or Scott or Jill or myself. We do not want you leaving today the same way you entered if you feel the weight of that sin, because it really has been dealt with on the cross. There is hope to be free. And God does not want us to carry the weight of those reminders of sin. He doesn't want us to carry the weight of our sin, because that will cause us to push away from him. And he wants to draw us near. And if there are some of us today that said, yeah, there is that one sin, that's the barrier that he wants to break for us today. The one thing that you think holds you back is the one area that he wants to minister to you in so that you can experience his nearness. Bless you. Who did that one? Bless you, Victoria. So this is going to bring us to the last section. Section number 3. Blood for obedience. Doesn't that sound fun? Super fun. So what holds you back? Maybe you're afraid of being fully invested in a relationship with God because you're afraid of what it might look like, how it might affect your spare time or your personal life. Maybe if you say yes to God, he might ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Maybe he'd ask you to give up something that you like doing. I'm not sure about that one either. Maybe you're afraid to bring the things that you struggle with out into the open because you've worked so hard for so many years to hide them. Maybe you're like Craig, who was afraid that he would be sent to Africa if he said yes to God back in the day. I remember my dad saying, you don't want to talk to people about faith because they're going to think you're weird. That was me. Don't talk about it because they're going to think you're weird. Maybe the root is you don't want anybody else telling you what to do. We are brought near to God through the blood of Jesus. And when things are hard, that's when we really want to feel his nearness the most, isn't it? When things are hard, we want him to feel close. So if this might apply to you today, let's look at 1 Peter 1, 2 in the NIV translation. Kelly, you're doing an amazing job. So 1 Peter 1, 2 says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This passage illustrates something really important. It mentions the three parts of God. And guess what? We get access to all three parts of God. Especially when things are hard, we get all three parts of God. He gives us to him. He gives himself to us completely. We have access to the Father. He chose every one of us to be in relationship with him. Bob, he chose you. Dan, he chose you. Karen, he chose you. Adriana, he chose you. Julie, he chose you. Scott, he chose you. He chose every one of us to be in relationship with him. So if you feel like you don't know that you're chosen, know today he's choosing you. Joe, he chose you. God chose you. We have access to the Holy Spirit. His work is awesome. I'm not supposed to have favorite parts of God, but I do love the Holy Spirit. He's the one, Victoria. He's the one that works in us. He's the one that talks to us. He's the one that works out our holiness. That's what sanctification means. The Holy Spirit works in us to help us be holy and to be more like Jesus. That's who's talking to us today. Anything that popped into your head, that's the Holy Spirit talking. And we have access to Jesus who gave his blood for us. Will, Jesus gave his blood for you. This is where it's going to get fun. And when I mean fun, I mean a little challenging. Did you catch the main part of the verse? We have access to all the parts of God for obedience. Obedience is not in our nature. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve to know that that's true. You could go back to me probably last week to know that that's not true. It's not in our nature. There is something that rises up in us that's like, no, I want to do things my own way. It's easy to say yes to do things if you enjoy doing them. It's harder to say yes if we don't. It's easy to say yes to God when he asks you to go up to a stranger and begin a dialogue with them about their faith. It's easy if you enjoy talking to people that you don't know. It's harder if you don't like walking up to strangers. It's especially hard if you're concerned about what that person's going to think about you if you begin the dialogue. It can be easy to say yes to God, to teach kids and kids connection, if you enjoy teaching. Or if you have kids, that can make it easier. It can be harder if you don't have kids If you haven't taught, Lord have mercy, I've never taught anything in church before. All those can be things that can make it difficult. But God is so good. He is so good, and he is so wise. And he knows that the most challenging part of following him is that we're going to be asked to do things his way and give up control of doing things our way. That is probably the biggest challenge of faith when we are becoming more like Christ. And it's his nearness in those times that speaks to us. It's his nearness that breathes courage and strength into us. It's his nearness that builds our trust. If we know that we know that we know that God is with us, we can do pretty much anything, right? It'll be hard, but it gives us confidence to know that we can do it, even though it's going to be difficult. It's his nearness that changes everything about that hard circumstance. And if we push and we don't allow ourselves to feel his presence, it's going to be harder. We might not want to do it. We might not do it if we don't have him and we feel him and we know he's there in tangible ways, because it's going to be a lot easier to say no. That is not what God has for us. He has obedience for us because he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's going to stretch us and make us feel uncomfortable so that we grow. He's going to know how to stretch us in ways to break off our barriers that hold us back from growing in trust, growing in our knowledge of him, growing in understanding who we've been created to be in our identity. So, did I tell you that sometimes I've done this to God? I've done this before. A few years ago, I was leading a women's group, and I was starting to kind of think ahead about what we would be doing that next semester. And I had read this book that really completely changed my walk with God, and I loved it. I was all about the principles in this book. And then I started to ask God, what do you want to do with women's group? And he's like, I want you to teach on undercover. What? Oh, I said a naughty word. No. No. The principles were all about submission and obedience. I thought I wanted it. But then when I had to actually talk about it with others, I know that obedience is not in our wheelhouse. It makes us push. And I thought, I don't want to do that. It's going to be difficult. People are not going to be open to it. They don't want to talk about it. Submission is a bad word in a lot of people's vocabularies. Every time I asked him, what do you want me to do? I want you to do undercover. I'm not doing that. What else do you have? Did you ever, what about this? What about this? What about this? I heard nothing. What do you want me to do? Undercover. For me, it was a long time. I wrestled for about 4 months, and for me, that really is a long time because I do want to be obedient. But I wanted something easier, fluffy, pretty, something that was yay. So, doing my hair, getting ready for church one Sunday. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to do undercover. Fine. That was me agreeing. Fine. Fine, 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 fine. Fine! And as soon as I had worked out a bunch of fines in my mind, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, it's not just for the women, it's for the men. And I thought, Lord have mercy, I don't even know what that looks like because I am a girl. So I went to church, and I just waited. Like, I don't know what this means. And then Rick and Paul, I don't know if they remember, they were sitting over here. And at that time, Rick and Paul were leading men's group, or men's, they were part of men's ministry. And I was sitting there, in church and I feel the Holy Spirit say, go over and just tell them what you're doing. Just say, this is what I'm doing with the women next semester, and just leave it. So I got my big girl panties on, and I said, okay, I'm going. And I went over there. I didn't really know them. They didn't really know me a little bit, but I just said, hey, guys, I don't know why I'm supposed to tell you this, but I just want you to know I think I'm going to take the women through this study called Undercover. And they're like, what's it about? So I shared a little bit that it's about, you know, submission to authority and obedience. And instantly they're like, this is for the men too. I thought, oh, maybe you do know what you're doing. So that was a study that we did as a whole church. And I would say that it changed the complete atmosphere of the church. It changed how we interacted with one another. It changed how we viewed our elders and our pastor. There was a man that had taken this study, and he realized after going through the study that he had lived in rebellion against the authorities of his church that he used to go to. And he went back to his pastor, and he repented in front of his old pastor and asked for his pastor's forgiveness. Wow. That church did the undercover study because of this man's testimony. It was so hard because it's not a topic that people like, but it stretched me a lot to do that. But the fruit that came from that was huge. So if God is asking you to do something and you don't know what it's going to look like, it's okay. That's where we get to choose to trust. I used to think trust was, well, let me know what you want to do, how it's going to work out, how things are going to go, and then I'll say yes. And God is so funny with me. He's like, baby girl, is that really trust? Dang it, no. The trust comes in saying yes and watching what God does with it. We don't have to make things happen. We can't oftentimes. It's not in our strength to be able to make things happen. But when we say yes to God, we get to partner with him and we get to see what he does. And that can be super, super fun and super exciting. So, we'll hold you back. Section 3 on our outline. Where is God asking you to step out in obedience today? What's the one thing that comes to mind? What's the Holy Spirit saying? If you sense anything, I just want to encourage you to write that down in the third section. And if you didn't hear anything today, that's okay. Keep asking, because he wants to talk to you. So where do you need the blood of Jesus to work today? Do you need Jesus' blood to bring you confidence so that you can boldly and confidently talk to God about anything? Do you need Jesus' blood to purify you? Do you need his blood to help you obey? Do you need Jesus' blood for something altogether different than was mentioned today? Maybe there are some of us here that have never even put our faith in Jesus. And maybe that's what we need his blood for today. If you've not formally made a commitment to Jesus to be in his family, to trust him for your salvation, to yield your life for his work on the cross, please come and talk to us today. I believe that's the most important thing that we need Jesus' blood for. And if you don't know that you know that you know that you have access to that, come and talk to us today. We don't want you leaving without that part of his blood. Where do you need Jesus' blood to work? If you look at your list, if you wrote anything down, where do you need him to work? Is it something that you wrote down on your outline? Do you need him to work in a completely different way that wasn't even talked about today? That's okay. Where do you need his blood to bring freedom and a removal of a barrier so that you can experience the nearness of God? We're going to take communion today, and I want to encourage you not to come up right away. I want to encourage you to sit for a little bit with the Holy Spirit and let him minister to you. Let him show you where he wants to begin this process with you this week. And let him work in you so that one area you can freely give to him and say, okay, I'm going to let you work in this area. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to trust that you're going to work in this one area. As you settle on that one thing in your mind, please come up and take communion. And know that Jesus' blood will break that barrier. This is your time with God. Let him minister to you, and we know that for some of you, worship music is a way that he ministers to you. I love what you said, Emma, about connecting, that music connects us in ways that words can't. So we're going to play some music while you listen to the Holy Spirit. So if the worship team wants to come up, Craig is going to lead us in communion. But please, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. He loves you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you chose each and every one of us. I thank you that you gave us your son, Jesus, to die on a cross so that we can be free. And I thank you that we have the Holy Spirit that connects us to you, that helps us understand your word, that helps us understand where it connects practically to our everyday lives. And I thank you, God, for Jesus' blood and what it's taught me and the confidence it's given me and the freedom that you want to bring us today. Holy Spirit, speak in a way that we recognize that's you, that we can experience you, and that you can draw us close. And at the end of that processing time with you, God, may we nestle our heads into your shoulders and let you love us. Because that's what all of this is for. It's because you love us. And help us, Lord, to remove the things that hold us back from you. In Jesus' name.